Okay, we're looking at the path to forgiveness. Forgiveness is always a subject that people seem to be very interested in. I know I am, and we get most of our views on YouTube and in our audio presentation. When I give a talk on forgiveness, it's a very important idea to implement. I guess it's not really an idea, it's an action. And it's an important action that we probably misunderstand a lot, and I think that's why it is a popular subject. Not necessarily because we're all unforgiving, but because we're trying to find out how to do it, the best way to do it, and to make the most sense of it, because sometimes it doesn't seem to make any sense to forgive something, to forgive somebody of some act that they have done that we just can't seem to let go. So the first principle that I would like to emphasize is the one that was up on the post in the early poster, that forgiveness is the act of letting go of the wounded self. Normally we think of forgiveness as being directed towards someone, but we're thinking of it from a spiritual point of view as an act that we ourselves must perform, a releasing that we ourselves must perform, that really has nothing to do with another person or another situation. And that is why that's a difficult concept to grasp, because people will do or say things to us and we will react to that and we feel completely justified, and we probably are on one level. But what we have to look at is, where is our life actually happening? And I've thought about this a long time, many years I've thought about this, because every time I talk about something like this, I think, what is happening when we forgive? What is happening? What has to happen when we forgive? Because you've probably heard people say, I'll forgive, but I will never forget. And so what's the difference there? If we don't forget, if we carry something, what are we doing? What are we doing to the experience, the quality of our experience, the quality of our life? And that's what we look at when we're dealing with spiritual principles. We look at, where is our life really happening? And when you think about that, it's always within you. It's within us. It's within the realm of our thoughts and our emotions. It's what we carry in terms of our self-image, the perception we hold of other people. All of that is ours. It's within us. Because as I have pointed out many times, if you go halfway across the country to some relatives, to visit some relative, and they say something to you that's extremely offensive, well, you can bring that back with you. And where do you carry that? Where is that experience? You can, every time you think of what they said, you can get angry. And so that's what we have to look at. Where is the quality of our life happening? Where is that? And if you think about that and get that clear in your mind, you'll find that 99% of the principles we talk about have to do with where your life is happening and why you do have control over what's happening. You don't have control over what people say or do, but we all have control over how we process that or how we live that and relive it and hang on to it or let go of it. We have that ability to let go. And so when you think about this statement, forgiveness is the act of letting go of the wounded self. You know, I was offended by what you said, and so I'm going to be miserable until you apologize. Well, what if they don't? I guess you are going to spend the rest of your life offended. So they probably should apologize. They probably do owe you an apology. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is this wounded self? What is this self that is reacting in the way it is? And why am I allowing this self to determine the quality of life that I'm experiencing right now? That's what it comes down to. And sometimes it's you have to roll up your sleeves and really give this some thought. Because it's so easy, we've done it all of our lives, blamed others for hurting us, the hurts that they've inflicted. There is a thing about making amends that's important too, but if you don't make amends with yourself first, if you don't find your center of power first, then making amends with someone else is really kind of a surface issue. And it's not that we don't need to do that sometimes. Sometimes we do. But this is really an important principle to look at. Forgiveness is the act of letting go of the wounded self or the self that was offended. And that's quite a different thing than to seek some change of attitude from another person, because we may never get that. And so will we always be hurt by that every time we think of that past situation? And I would imagine all of us have people in our lives, I can think of several, that I still have a difficult time thinking that it's me I have to let go. It's them. They did it. They did this thing that was harmful. And so, you know, nothing's going to change that. Nothing's going to make that better. And if I call them up and say, I forgive you, they may think that what they did was just fine, you know, and I don't ever want them to think that, because it wasn't just fine. That's part of the thing we go through. So it's not a question of, do they deserve our forgiveness? The question always is, do we deserve it? Are we deserving of letting go of that chain that binds us to that person or that level of experience? It's really not even a person, it's a perception. You know, every person in your life lives within your mind and heart as a perception. And that's not to minimize who they are, but that's where the relationship takes place. And when the relationship seems to fall apart, it's because the perception has changed. A lot of times we change our attitude toward a person and they themselves have not really changed. They've always been the scoundrel that they are. But we see that. They bring out that level of themselves and we see it. And so we change our perception of who we think they are. And so that means that there's a new person living inside of us, a new perception of a person living inside of us. And we're having a whole different relationship with them. That's kind of an interesting thing to think about, that we carry the people in our lives around with us all the time. We carry them in our consciousness. We call it consciousness. It's that realm of thought and feeling, the belief system. It's the perceptions that we hold, what we believe is true, what we believe is false. But you really have to give this some prayerful thought to make sense out of it. I think we can pretty easily grasp, you know, logically, we can grasp it, but can we grasp it emotionally? Can we grasp it well enough emotionally to actually let somebody go, to let go of our wounded self, that part of us that's saying, they owe me, you know, they need to fix this problem with me? Can I stop saying that and say, I can release this problem. I can release this person. And I'm talking about people, and I'm talking about situations. I'm talking about anything where we feel that we're not forgiving, or when we think of it, it angers us, or we go to another place that we don't really like in ourselves. Anything that has that ability to trigger a lesser quality of experience, that's where forgiveness would apply. And so it can be a lot of things. You know, we can be disappointed about something we set out to do and did not succeed in, did not accomplish. And so we think about that whole time, and maybe we think of all the people involved, but we just think, why didn't that work out? You know, and we can't really let it go. We don't feel like we're letting it go. But what is really the need here is to look at the reacting self. Why am I reliving that? Why am I still there? Why am I trying to still resolve something that's so far away that I never really can resolve it? So the good news is that it's always, the ball is always in our court. When we think of it from this perspective, forgiveness is the act of letting go of the wounded self, that self that's hurting and reacting. So we'll talk about how to do that. I don't have any easy answers on how to do that, except when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, you start looking for alternatives. And if you just don't feel like you can let go of the action of somebody, then start thinking about, can I let go of the person that I think has been wounded, has been hurt? Can I do that? It doesn't cost anything. They don't have to know anything about it. Can I do that? Can I let go of the person that is within myself, my perception that is wounded? And the answer always is yes. It's not that we will do it, but we're looking at a path. We're looking at a way. Here's a way to resolve an issue, any issue. Forgiveness is release. Peter asked Jesus, how many times should one forgive an offender? And he said seven times, and Jesus said 70 times seven. In other words, forgive until you know you've completely released your offender, and I'll add the perception of your offender. We forgive until we know we have released the level of experience that is destroying the quality of our life. That's how often we do it. How often do you forgive somebody? It's not a number. It's a place you reach. Have I truly let go of this person? Have I truly let go of the wounded person that I have become? Can I let that go? And he's just saying, stay with it until you let it go. And why? You know, this kind of the mainstream thinking, religious thinking, is that if we hold on, if we don't forgive somebody, we'll be punished for that, in a sense, by God or by circumstances or whatever. But when you think about what is the punishment, when I am having a miserable reaction to somebody, what is the punishment? Is it their action or is it my action? And that's where the spiritual principles come into play. It's always my action. It's they did it. It's, you know, we don't want to deny that. The thing happened. Otherwise, we're just going to go through life with this woo-woo, new agey kind of everything's cool and everybody's wonderful kind of thing. People aren't always wonderful, and they don't always deserve the kind of respect that they may think they do deserve from us. Respect is a thing you earn, and you earn it through action, not through words. But people can wound us, and then we carry the wound. They don't carry the wound. They're not in charge of the wound. They may have inflicted the wound, or they may have done an act that would cause us to react from a wounded self, from the wounded self. But you own the wound. You own that wounded self. Nobody else owns it. You're totally in charge of it. And the question is, how much do you like it? You own it. Maybe it's the only thing you do own. No debts there. So I own this wounded self, and I'm in charge of it. Do I want to let it go? And if you don't want to let it go, then maybe ask yourself why. What's the value of holding on to this level of experience? Well, I've been hurt, you know, it's obvious. But is there value in affirming that? And by value, I mean, does it make your life better? And the answer always is no, it doesn't. There's something that kind of feels good to have a negative reaction when somebody hurts us. I don't know what that is exactly, but I think it's the idea of justification. We feel justified in having that type of reaction. But that's never the question. Am I justified in having this reaction? Yes. Who wouldn't? But is this the quality of experience I want? That's the real question that we ask. We move beyond the justification into what level or kind of experience do I want? And if the answer is I want to be free, then I can begin to let go of the reactionary self, the wounded self that I'm carrying around. I'm carrying this wound. I own it. And am I willing to let it go? Am I willing to sell everything I own in order to buy the treasure in the field? That's parable of the hidden treasure. That's the same principle. I own this wounded self that is sitting here sobbing. So am I willing to sell everything I own to have the treasure hidden in the field? That's the question. Or I'm the fisherman casting the net into the ocean and I'm pulling up a wounded self along with all kinds of other good things. Am I going to throw the wounded self into the vessel and keep it and throw away all the good? You know, it's the same idea. That this idea is, it's everywhere in the scripture. The prodigal son goes out into the far country. You know, he owns the far country. It's the wounded self. It's where you suffer. He stayed out there just as long as he could. But the time came where he turned around. He decided he did not want that level of life anymore. But it was his choice. And that's the important thing to know. We don't have to give up the wounded self. We don't have to forgive. We don't have to do any of this stuff. You're not going to get brownie points in heaven if you forgive somebody. You will get brownie points in the quality of your life, the freedom that you experience when you actually release something is can't really be measured. It just opens up your whole imagination when you're free from something. When you finally free yourself from something under your power, under your choice, and you say, no more of this. I don't want to do this anymore. I've shared many times, you know, you've had the experience of being backed up against a wall and suddenly something in you changes. You solidify. You say, that's as far back as I'm going to go. I'm going to deal with this thing. You're owning your freedom. You're giving up that fear that's pushing you backwards. And you're saying that which is in me is greater than that which is in the world. It's a spiritual principle. It's not a religious principle. It's a spiritual principle. It's not something you just memorize in your religious teaching. This is something that changes the quality of your life. And that's why Unity was called practical Christianity for so long. It's practical. It's a practical application. A strong identification with that part of you that feels unjustly wounded will forever keep you in bondage, both to the actions of others and to certain conditions that threaten to reopen the old wound. So, to say, he hurt me, you know, just that something that simple, he hurt me, she hurt me. The focus is always on the he or she. But what about if you put it on the me? She hurt me. He hurt me. What's the me doing? The victim? Is the me the victim of them? If we're making ourselves the victim, that's the wounded self. That's the only thing in the relationship that we own. So am I able to sell that? Sell all that I own so I can have the treasure of freedom? So when you use phrases like that, here's what they did to me. Look at the me. Forget what they did. Forget the circumstance. And look at the me. Why is this me having this reaction when I don't have to? It's a choice. It seems like I have to have this reaction because that's how I've been trained. That's how the world reacts. And as long as your kingdom is of this world, that's how you'll react. But if you become a follower of Jesus, you declare, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, I'd call out all my arsenal and fight this problem, fight this person, prove how wrong they are, make them apologize. But if my kingdom is not of this world, that world, my kingdom is of this world. It's of the world of me, the wounded self, the reactionary. So I do have something to say about that. And I can begin to release it. I can begin to look at it not because the offender deserves my forgiveness, but because I do. Because I want the freedom that gives, that releasing gives. That's what I'm after. Who profits more? The one who successfully builds an impenetrable wall of protection around their fragile identity, or the one who releases that identity in favor of one that is so strong it needs no protection? See, if we build a wall around us, and I've spent 40 years talking to people and seeing how this happens. Somebody's hurt in a relationship, so I'll never love again. You know, I'll never give myself to that extent again. So I build this wall around myself to protect myself, or I try to succeed in some endeavor and I failed, so I'll never do that again. So I have to maintain that wall of protection, and I spend a lot of energy doing that rather than actually looking at, is there a self that doesn't need that wall? Is there a part of myself that is so strong it doesn't need that wall of protection? So if you embrace these principles, spiritual principles, that, and another one that is very profound, is that which is in you is greater than that which is in the world. What does that mean? It means that whatever the world throws at you, there's something in you that's greater than that. And if you say, well, I must react negatively to this, then that something greater has not stepped forward at that moment. Something less has stepped forward. And they step forward and they put another brick in that protective wall. So we spend a lot of our reactionary time building and maintaining the protective wall rather than saying, what is this self in me that's greater than that which is in the world? And can I bring that out? How do I apply? How do I let this self loose? How do I sell everything I own to buy this field? How do I make a choice to stop hanging on to the things in the net that I don't want and actually make the choice to keep what I do want? How do I do that? We have to be mindful of what we're doing. We have to look at the me that is hurting and say, is this who I am? Am I trying to justify this reaction, you know, by putting another few bricks in the wall around me? Or am I tearing the bricks down? Am I tearing that wall down and saying, that which is in me, that which I am actually, is greater than that which is in the world. And how do you know when you've actually done that? How do you know when you've made that shift? You feel it. You can think of the person not as someone you have to get back at or somehow reconcile with or whatever. You see that person as powerless over you. And that's not to look down your nose at them. It's to see them from your point of strength, from your center of strength, your center of power. And when you look at people from your center of power, you know, maybe you know somebody that's very successful and you're a little bit jealous, envious of them. They have things you don't have. They've done things you have not done or would like to do but have not or whatever. You feel like you're less than they are. And every time you're in their presence, you let them diminish you. You let them bring you down to some other level. You don't feel good about yourself. And then they leave and you say, why do I do that to myself? Why do I have that kind of reaction? So what is going on there? You know, where is that self that you become when you're in the presence of that person? Emily Cady talks about some individual in her life, she doesn't really go into detail about who, that made her feel like a total loser. Every time that she was in their presence, she said, they just made me feel horrible. And if it can happen to somebody like Emily Cady, you know, it can happen to anybody. It happens to all of us. But what is happening when that happens? We're shifting our self-perception. We're going from our center of power to something less. And so we that something less, that image that's something less, we want to build it up. We want to build it up so we feel better when we're in that person's position. Maybe we like the fact that we've heard their wife got ill or they're having some kind of financial struggle. Finally, you know, they're getting what they deserve kind of thing. I don't know. We go through all these things. It's all about them, when in truth it's all about us. So what if you could be in that person's presence, that same person's presence, and feel just fine about you? You know, that's very possible. And that's the way we're supposed to feel. That would be natural. Natural feeling. That we don't let others intimidate us to the point where we feel like we're something less than we are in truth. Or some situation where we feel very small. First time I got up and gave a talk, I felt like I was about 3 inches tall. I thought, who in the world would want to hear anything I have to say? I was about 23 or 4 or something like that. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But who would want to, you know, who would care what I have to say? And so over the years, I have become unafraid of getting up and talking. So what changed? It's not the audience. However you perceive the audience, you know, you're perceiving them from yourself. If the audience is intimidating, you're seeing yourself as something small. And so that's a pretty important thing to look at. And I'm not just talking about public speaking. I'm talking about anything that makes us feel that way or that we've allowed to make us feel that way. Where do you exist? Where are you? And where are you when you feel timid? Where have you gone off to? Where have you run away to? And said, okay, timid self, take over. It's an interesting dynamic, and we all do it in, you know, all kinds of different ways. But it's a choice. We just don't understand that we have the power to make that choice and that we are making that choice. When we become small, you know, the forgiveness is really directed toward us. I forgive myself for letting myself become small, for reacting in this way. you are the game changer. When you open your mind and heart to your spiritual identity, your center of power, your relationship dynamics change. You know this. You make new choices. You may include parting company, or which may include parting company with your offender. That does happen, and it may need to happen. We're not letting people off the hook for bad behavior. You know that. That's not part of the deal. I think a lot of people have this thought that a good Christian becomes a doormat to the world, and I don't believe that's true at all. We don't want to become the doormat to ourself. You know, that's what happens. We become something less in our own mind. So you make new choices, which may include parting company with your offender. This doesn't occur out of weakness or a sense of self-protection, and that's the big one, but out of the new strength that you have discovered. So we make our choices not out of weakness, not out of reactionary weakness, but out of strength. And that makes all the difference in the world. We don't just huff and puff and try to get the strength to do it. We get to the point in ourselves where we find that center of power and we just do it. We make that change. Through the practice of forgiveness, we begin to see that our most effective course of action is the inner work of letting go of the wounded and woundable self. Freedom emerges to the degree that we accomplish this important work. And one brief exercise that somebody suggested is, imagine the offender or the situation you're reacting to on a dock someplace. You're in a canoe, sitting in a canoe backwards, looking at them, and the river's flowing, but you're holding on to a rope that's keeping you bound to that person, that situation. You just let go. You say, I don't need to be here anymore. This is not part of my identity. You let go, and what happens? The river carries you away. If you just visualize this, sit down quietly sometime, take a person or situation, put them on a dock. Imagine yourself sitting in this canoe. Just imagine this happening. And you let go and just let yourself drift away. And how much better you feel. You know, that's really what it is. That's forgiveness. It's a letting go of something that's binding you to a lesser experience than you want. Pretty simple, huh? All right. So take that thing you fear most, that person you dislike most, put them on that dock, and let them go. All right. Thanks for coming out. We'll see you next week.